Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walt it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Sarge really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Jay Stu, I just may.
It's really cold outside.
Monday Night Raw
with Dean Ambrose
is on tonight.
Roman Reigns is gonna suplex Bray Wyatt.
I know it's gonna be soon.
Like your dad.
We'll be eating at Kowloon.
Don't go to sleep.
So hey, Andy Wong.
He's cool and will be spared.
Let's have some Saugus wings.
Don't go to sleep.
6 a.m. Yay.
I could listen to the Sarge songs all day.
I sang that song to myself 20 times over the Christmas break because there's Christmas music everywhere. And I guess this is the year where the collective public have welcomed back Baby It's Cold Outside after a year of being shunned after the Me Too movement because that was gone. And like, not only is it back, it seems to be being played more than ever. As a matter of fact, I think that somebody fairly big just redid it.
I think John Legend did. Recently,
yeah, like John Legend just redid it. So after a year of it going away, where stations like said they weren't going to play it, it was everywhere. And every time I heard it, I thought of, "Baby, it's cold outside.
I really can't stay."
That's all I thought of the entire time. And whenever I hear like Feliz Navidad, it's always "Please, Andy Wong." Please, Andy Wong.
Do you have that available?
I believe I might have that somewhere around here.
It is the Christmas season.
I mean, it is the Christmas season.
Please, Andy Wong. Please, Andy Wong. Please, Andy Wong. Give me more spring rolls and moose shoe pork.
Well, I mean, it was a big day for Andy Wong yesterday, right?
It was
his birthday?
Yep. He was... I asked him if he wanted to do something. He said no. And then he goes, "I just want to keep it under wraps." No. Like everybody on Twitter hit Andy Wong up about happy birthday yesterday. So, but he said he felt like the fellow from, what's that Christmas movie? A Wonderful Life. He said he felt like that from all the people who reached out to him yesterday.
Oh, that's beautiful.
For his birthday, he wanted to stay away from Sarge.
Okay. So for the first time in probably about... 20 hours, I have checked my Twitter feed, and is this the real woman from the Peloton ad that reached out?
No. Somebody made a fake lady from the Peloton ad.
Oh, I was going to say.
Account. No. It's not really her.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we got a great... So yesterday, I had tweeted out that we were going to be giving away Patriots tickets or something like that, because we are. It's at 6:30, and... 7:30 and 9:30. That's right.
I was unaware of that.
Yeah, 7:30 and 9:30. We're going to be giving away Patriots tickets. And I got a tweet from Grace in Boston. It says, "Well, you know, I'll be listening because I'll be up at 6. Yay. You know, that sarcastic
guy. I know, because for a second I thought it might have been real, and the woman that's in the commercial actually put the picture of herself in the commercial because she is Grace in Boston.
Yeah, there's part of me that kind of feels bad for the actress in that commercial because the backlash in that commercial, I saw it everywhere yesterday.
We were first to the backlash on that commercial.
That is true.
We were first. There's no doubt about that. But I will say this, is that, you know, because I've gotten a few articles sent to me, and yeah. I guess they're... sales are up like a fair amount since that commercial came out.
The opposite. Their stock went into the toilet.
Oh, I thought it was shows my financial knowledge.
Okay.
All right.
Into the toilet is subjective. It went down 10%.
Oh, that's not good.
Over the weekend. Yeah. I guess they went public maybe a month and a half ago. And because of that, they launched this big campaign for Christmas. And when they went public, the sales went really well, and then just from this weekend and the backlash they've received, their stock has gone down 10%. As a matter of fact, they took the ability to comment on the YouTube page that has that commercial on it, they took it down because it was like 97% negative reviews.
Oh, yeah.
To the 3% that were positive. It's everywhere. It's kind of become one of these things where now everyone's like, all right, well, I mean, this is what were they thinking putting this commercial out there?
Yeah, I think it hurts the ad agency a little bit.
6 a.m. Yay.
But see, to me, people are criticizing it because, you know, it's a guy giving his wife, who's already in good shape, exercise equipment. I didn't even think of that when I watched it.
Neither did I.
Like, that was, to me, it was more that she was nervous riding a stationary bike in her living room.
Again, I saw that commercial 100 times when I was in Philadelphia, and it enraged my son, my daughter. It enraged all of us.
Oh, yeah. And that the fact that she made her husband sit down and watch a year's worth of these viral, like these YouTube videos she was making trying to be an influencer, to me, that's what stood out. I mean, and there's all these articles about health shaming. Oh, well, you know, people, how dare you buy your wife a workout equipment? You might as well buy her pots and pans so she can stay in shape while she's cooking. I mean, it was stuff like that. I didn't even think about that. And to be quite honest, I mean, if she wanted it, who cares? But I just love the fact that she's like really, really terrified of getting on this stationary bike.
Right. Yeah. All right. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, you guys might want to listen to that John Legend song of the remake because it's politically corrected and it's terrible.
It's
obnoxious.
Really?
No, dude, it's
all right, so they changed the lyrics because of the backlash?
Yep. All right, so the idea is that Dean Martin does not want the woman to leave.
Was he the originator of that?
Whatever. Whoever. Dean Martin's the one that I know.
Okay.
So Dean Martin is singing. I mean, he didn't write the thing, but I mean, none of those guys did. So he's sitting there and he's like, hey, don't leave, it's cold.
Yeah,
it's like,
flirty.
He's flirting. So, like, it doesn't say, like, I'm going to tie you up or, like, I'm going to block the door.
Right.
No, he's flirting with her. He's like, don't leave. And then doesn't she end up staying?
They never say if she does. I don't think in the song they do. Okay, hang on. Let's pull this up. This is Baby It's Cold Outside with Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, one is like, I can call you a ride. I think
it's No. Come on, let's play it. Let's see. Is this it right here?
This is something else.
Disney's Lady and the
Tramp. For some reason, there's an ad. Of course, there's always ads. I don't know. This computer's the worst.
Just go to Rap Genius and put on Baby It's Cold Inside.
Maybe this is it. Is this it?
Whatever it is, I like it, yeah.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've gotta go away.
Well, I can call you a ride.
Yeah. This evening has been
so glad this
so very nice.
Time spent with you is paradise.
My mama will start to
is this a joke?
What are you still living home?
So really,
it is a joke.
Better scurry.
You're driving.
is Murray.
Maybe just a happy dream.
Oh, we're both adults, so who's keeping
what
score?
Will my friends think?
I think they should rejoice.
If I have one more dream,
it's your body and your choice.
I think that's got to be your choice.
I think you're right.
Yeah, because he says, what are you living, still living at home? Yeah, that's got to be
okay, well, then that's kind of funny. If that's the case, then that's all right.
If it's not a joke.
Then you really ought to go.
At least I'm going to say that I tried.
Well, Murray,
he just
really
there you go. His driver Murray's just sitting there outside.
Yeah, just sitting there.
Okay, well, that's... All right. I just like that. He goes, what will my friends think? I think they should rejoice. If I have one more drink, it's your body and your choice.
Yeah, I think that might be poking fun at the politically correctness.
It might be. But that song was everywhere, though. I mean, it came back with a roaring vengeance. It's almost like there was a requirement that song has to be played a certain amount of times in a decade, and they were making up for last year.
Well, I mean, you know, Jay Stu and Sarge, they are tastemakers.
We were sitting here off the air thinking of new Christmas carols for 2019, which we might have to...
I actually was brainstorming last night.
And even Bird's pointing at his head saying he was thinking of some.
All right. Well, that would be interesting to hear. Just sitting there. All right.
Yeah. 10%. The stock fell 10% for the Peloton thing. It's going to go back up. I do believe that this is probably one of those cases where... I mean, you know, that all publicity is good publicity. I just think that now people know what this is. The one thing I didn't realize is that not only is the bike like $2,400, but then if you want to do what that woman's doing and watch those classes, it's $40 a month.
Yeah.
On top of that.
By the way, if I got my wife a treadmill for Christmas, she'd be happy. So just goes to show you. Yeah, if I got her, she already has one, but if I got her like... I have gotten her, what is that thing she used to do, Pure Bar. I've gotten her Pure Bar classes.
Yeah, that's
Christmas.
See, that part of it I had no problem with. I mean, women want workout equipment. A lot of them want it. Now, if your wife is someone who doesn't want it.
Well, it's just like anything else. All right.
By the way, Grayson Boston just tweeted us, but so nervous.
Yeah, she's being talked about on the air. All right, Rich, what happened last evening? What were we talking about?
I mean, the Bruins just keep on winning. It took a while, but they keep on winning.
All right, we will have that for you, Ted Johnson, in for the 7 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.
Recapping what you missed, it's Touchner and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Want to thank Bird. He got me Dunkin' Donuts. I didn't have a chance to eat dinner last night. Much appreciated.
You tried the new meatless thing they've got?
I did not. I forgot about it, but...
I had a meatless burger for the first time this weekend, that Beyond Meat.
It's so good for you.
Well, I mean, I had it, and it is shocking. The first couple of bites, I almost wish that I would have it without not... knowing that it's meatless,
right.
You know, kind of, but I mean, because you're trying to find something, and yeah, it's really good. It took me, although it hits your stomach different. You know what I mean? It feels weirder when you eat it. But I know that's kind of the way things are going. And I bet that if I had enough of them, I would just completely not even think about it anymore. But maybe it was in my head, but it tasted just like it. But when you swallowed it, it felt different in your stomach.
Well, I have...
I don't know. It might have even felt better in your stomach because, you know, meat can sometimes just sit there for a while and make you sleepy. It didn't do that.
See, I have a theory that I have not heard anywhere else, but because of the environmental impact of the meat industry, that they're going to start taxing it. And then this meatless stuff is going to be happening all over the place.
Well, that would be enormous. I mean, if you put a tax on meat, I mean, think about what percentage of Americans eat. Are you talking about like beef?
I'm talking. I would start with beef.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, what percentage of Americans on a like every week eat red meat? It's got to be probably 80%, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
So I mean, that would be probably one of the biggest all-around taxes, other than of just raising the regular tax.
Yeah, but if they're if you get someone that's concerned about the environment, it might not be a federal tax, but if you get someone who's concerned about the environment and they get people going, that there might be a tax on it. But we shall see.
We shall see. Well, the Bruins take the sweet time, but they do knock off the Hurricane.
Gardner keeps it in. Almost coughed it up high, and now he does. 3-on-2 the other way. Over the line, right side, Heinen. Throws it to the far corner, Marchand. Centers the puck, and they score! He's been buzzing all night, and he gets rewarded. Charlie Coyle headed to the front of the net to bat a centering pass home and give the Bruins a late 1-0 lead.
Yep, they waited until the final 5 minutes, but exploded for two goals very quickly to beat Carolina 2-0 as they make hockey writers with Southern accents all over the South lose their minds. Damn you, Fred Tutcher.
I still get emails.
I saw a few yesterday.
Still get emails from people from Carolina.
Yeah, they don't like you.
Yeah, that really really hurts. I'm glad you're still hanging on to that.
Well, Charlie Coyle started things off with a nice one, as you heard there, with just minutes left. Only moments later to be joined by this guy.
Krejci far corner, stripped to the puck. Pasternak's on it. Pasternak tries to protect. Edmondson trying to whack it off his stick, held in near point by McIntyre.
Hey,
he scores!
Whack it off his stick.
Understood what just came out of his mouth.
I just gave a little chip-chipperson. You don't even know what you said.
Well, David Krejci seals the deal by whacking it off his stick while scoring his 200th career goal. Meanwhile, Yaroslav Halak was great. He pitches a shutout. It was his 49th career shutout. As a matter of fact, that was one of those games, while watching it, it just felt after a while, like midway through the second period, that this is one of those bad bounce games. That just, I mean, there were so many moments where they could have scored. As a matter of fact, they fixed a hole in the net at one point in the game yesterday. But you're sitting there watching it and going, this is going to be like a bad bounce that ends up determining who wins this game. But in the end, the Bruins took care of business. They have not only won 8 games in a row, but they're the first team in the NHL to 20 wins this season. So here's Bruce Cassidy on switching up the lines just a little bit last night.
We weren't generating much. Jake with Krejci, they've been together a long time. I think Jake's game the last 4 or 5 games, he's kind of recaptured where, you know, we believe he can be for us. He's on pucks. And, you know, with Coyle, like, you give him just a different player with Marshy over there. So it's just, you know, one of those in-game switches we've done in the past. And
by the way, he mentioned Jake DeBrusk, and more than likely he's going to be on with us at 9:20. Jake DeBrusk is always like a game-time decision. But he has 6 points in his last 6 games. Or should I say 6 points since he last came on the show with us.
Yeah.
Including 3 goals, 3 assists. He didn't really do anything last night, but he's been good. He's been solid. And all of a sudden has come back around, and maybe he'll be on pace to kind of go through that little streak that he had in the middle of last year.
And by the way, and you can say it's December, but 15 points up on Toronto and 16 points up on Tampa. I know it's something that's obvious, but these points don't go away.
Nope.
Regardless of when you win.
And they did it without Patrice, too, which is nice.
Well, which is great because, I mean, you can continue to rest them. I mean, you can, if you're going like this, rest them.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, he was played. The guy got outplayed in the Stanley Cup last year by Ryan O'Reilly.
Like, yeah.
Was completely outplayed. One of the best two-way players in hockey. Was literally outplayed. I'd save him until the end of the year.
And when I talked to him before the season at their press day, even though he didn't say anything, it was obvious that he's going to deal with this for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
So if
but they have all these other kids they drafted, Fred. Like they can play these guys and develop them.
Right. You know? And if you're got this kind of lead, sit Bergeron, let him rest.
Yeah.
Use him for the stretch.
I think I read this morning that after last night's game, Halak has the second best save percentage in the league. I think just above Tuukka Rask,
yep.
Who I think has the third best save percentage in the league.
Yeah.
Ty Anderson put something out that I can find in a second.
He played in his 500th game last night, though. Halak, like he's been around for a while, and he's what now 6-1, 7-1, I believe now.
Yeah,
year.
I can tell you how they've been over the last few games.
Well, think about it, too. Not only do you have 2 of the best goalies in the game right now, you do have the best record in the league, and you have the best scorer in the league. And you have to start wondering at what point, and you've seen a couple hints of it so far, but do you think, Fred, that teams are going to start trying to take liberties with David Pastrnak? I mean, trying to get overly physical with David Pastrnak because he has become such a threat. You see this happen in the league all the time where you have this, you know, guy who ends up being, you know, having a surge, like an up-and-coming dude, and they just start taking runs at him. And you know that that is – and it's – oh, you've seen hints of it, and you know that's going to be coming soon.
I think it's happened to Krejci. Like, I think that's what's happened to Krejci in his career. So I wonder if –
Pastrnak's gotten bigger, though.
Yeah.
And Pastrnak,
he's still like, I mean, bigger, but how much do you think he weighs? Like 170?
Yeah, I was going to say 180.
But he's not 19 when he was getting, when you could just toss him around. He can handle it a little bit. By the way, Tuukka Rask since November 15th, 6-0-0 with .943. Halak, 2-0-1. 954 combined 8-0-1 with the .947 save percentage. Yeah, they can take little runs at him if they want to, you know, if they're willing to take the sacrifice in terms of a penalty and then have the Bruins be on the power play, which I wouldn't want. But, I mean, Pastrnak is not the same. I mean, he's put on muscle every offseason.
Look, he's gone for 140 to 170.
Yeah. You are right, though. Yeah. Like that, at some point they're going to have to go after him, right? The Blues did.
Well, I'm sure.
Well, the Blues went after everybody.
The Blues were awesome.
I mean, the Blues had no talent, and they just said, "All right, screw it."
But that was that's the thing that sucked about the Bruins losing last year is that the Blues are the kind of team it's easy to get behind. Like they got out there and just out muscled them and were physical as hell, borderline a little dirty. I mean, they were a fun team. You know, if they weren't playing the Bruins, they'd be an easy team to root for. But I mean, you're gonna see a lot more of that. Kevin Miller, the timeline on that is interesting. He's obviously someone. If these teams do indeed start taking liberties, it would be nice to have him back. You know, have that guy that could do that. You know, because as of right now, who's kind of your bad boy? You know, who's like the guy? I mean, Chara is always there, but he's older. But I mean, who's your dude that you have out there that watches?
Grizzlick.
Grizzlick. Yeah, Grizzlick is good, and he is someone that can take care of that for now.
That's right. He could go hit him in the balls.
He could do that. Well, another strange stat, which includes last night, did you know that the last time a Boston sports team lost at home in regulation, do you know the date? The last time a Boston, one of the major four teams, lost in regulation at home.
It's got to be the Bruins.
Nope.
It's Celtics last year, maybe?
September 28th at Fenway, Red Sox versus Orioles.
Wow.
That is their second-to-last game of the year. Since then, the Patriots at home, undefeated, and the Celtics and Bruins at the Garden, 23 games, zero losses. It's a fortress, I tell you, that Garden. Well, nutty. I mean, by the way, Jake DeBrusk is going to be on the show today around 9:20, and we're most definitely going to have Billy Jaffe on at 9. Tomorrow, the Blackhawks are going to be heading to the TD Garden, and the puck drops at 7 o'clock here. You can hear it here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Last night, you know, even watching it on TV, it looked like one of those games that would have been fun to be at. For some reason, the snow scared a lot of people away. Boy, the city was quiet.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Really quiet last night. And those are the type of games that are kind of – you ever been to one of those games that with like a snow game where almost no one's there?
Yes.
There was a awesome Tampa Lightning game that they tried to cancel years ago. They didn't.
I remember that. It was like they made the decision that day, didn't they? And I think you might have had like 5,000 people at that game.
And that Tampa thing was because Tampa couldn't play it later – or they couldn't – they had to travel, so they couldn't leave. They had to play the game. Yes, I remember that.
And almost no one was there. Mm. Yeah, those games are a lot of fun.
I wonder if they let you move down or if they're still very strict.
You gotta be there, like, just go.
You got to be in the upper deck. And you got to be on the goal in the upper deck.
For a game like that, I would think that they, you know, would look the other way.
I would hope so.
One thing we haven't mentioned, and we can get into this later with Jaffe, but how about the signing of Charlie Coyle and Wagner? Because I'll be honest, don't like the moves.
You don't like Coyle?
Why not Coyle?
Don't like the moves at all.
Why?
This team's consistently re-signing guys. Coyle for 6 years? 6 years for Coyle? Maybe it's a replacement for Krejci down the line. I get it. But like Wagner, this is what Chiarelli did.
Yeah.
He re-signed guys that are just at the bottom of the roster.
Fine.
Here.
But Coyle is someone who's worth sticking around, and it can't be a
third line center, 6 year deal.
Yeah, because that's the problem with this team is they don't have depth. And Charlie Coyle is a very good third line center.
I think he's a nice player. I do. But this team be getting into 6 year deals with third line centers.
Well, 6 year deals actually help you in the long run if it's not a ridiculous, you know, type of uh, type of Backus deal. I mean, but Coyle has proven himself to be a scorer, and that's the big issue with this team is that they have no depth. And, yeah, when Krejci's gone, eventually Coyle could be a second-line center. No, that's exactly what Javi's going to tell you. He's going to say
But they've only drafted, I don't know, how many guys in the first, second, third round to play center
all right,
and wing?
Shirelli, what his problem was, he gave millions of dollars to guys that were relegated to the fourth line. I mean, Thornton was making over $1 million.
Yeah.
Thornton, Campbell, I mean, those guys all made over $1 million.
You know what else was great about last night's game? Jack Edwards hates Dougie Hamilton. I mean, I know a lot of people hated Dougie Hamilton, but Jack Edwards can't hide it. And he was throwing in these little jabs throughout the game, which I thought was pretty funny. Like, he hates Dougie Hamilton.
No. I mean, he's an easy guy to hate.
He is. I mean,
ooh, that booty.
That's right.
Jack Edwards. Jack Edwards, very passionate as a member of the Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. All right. What else is coming up?
Oh, Fred, we've got NFL insiders just throwing stuff out there, and the definition of this guy is on a different planet.
All right, let's hear all about that. Here are the headlines.
Kutcher and Rich.
Yeah, it's a hit. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Help Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Help Christmas in the City. Christmas in the City gives Christmas gifts to thousands of Boston children that are currently homeless. Felger and Maz are out this week collecting toys and money. Thursday, December 5th at the Seaport Hotel, Felger and Maz live from 2 to 6:30 prior to the CITC annual wreath auction. Saturday, December 7th at Newbury Comics, Natick Mall, Felger and Maz meet and greet from 1 to 3. Bid on great items now in the online auction at 98.5thesportshub.com. And you can help Felger and Maz and Christmas in the City make a difference for thousands of children this holiday.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing to do. Well, the Patriots still reeling from their second loss of the season, and the Chiefs right around the corner. All the attention is now as to whether or not Brady has enough weapons to win. Well, there's one talking head who says that Brady may not have the weapons now, but he just might sooner rather than later. That talking head?
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's speaking in tongues.
He is.
And he's speaking to someone who knows absolutely nothing.
I mean,
my vocabulary isn't inept enough.
I mean, maybe your vocabulary is inept enough, but I do know that he had
isn't
something.
Isn't inept enough.
It is, I mean.
Yes, and I didn't stutter nor did I stumble.
So,
Yes, and I didn't stutter nor did I stumble.
All right, well, okay. Well, just a big difference there. All right, so the man who speaks in tongues while on top of walls.
Yep, that's right. Deion
Sanders.
That's right. Take it away, Deion Sanders.
I want to start with the New England Patriots. Deion, okay. I don't think it's too much to say they might not even be the best team in the AFC East. Let's remember, the Buffalo Bills.
What's their record? You heard me. What's their record?
They're 10-2.
They lost two games.
They're 10-2.
Okay. Isn't that the best record amongst the league? And we're panicking? You just shattered the glass. Your hand should be bleeding because you just broke the glass in case of emergency. And it's not even an emergency right now. This is the problem I have with the Patriots right now. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady is getting frustrated. You know why he's getting frustrated? Because everything outside the numbers, they're not getting any separation. They're not getting open. And they don't really understand the game and how to sit in holes as a receiver. And it's frustrating him. He's too old and bold, and the story ain't half been told, that this man is the GOAT. And you give him that, I guarantee you, something's going to happen within the next few weeks in the receiver department. They got to get this man some help. Because what I saw today was ridiculous.
What are they going to shop for? I mean, Randy Moss is on a different
receiver.
Network. But they've already
a
done
receiver.
That. They said goodbye to AB. They said goodbye to Josh Gordon. Gronk isn't walking through that door. Okay, so
somebody is it trade. Something.
You can't trade.
Something.
That's
Well, no, I'm sorry,
that.
Not trade. Something.
Do they have the best record in the AFC? No. Not technically.
Well, they do.
I mean, they...
But they're not the one seed.
Right. Yeah, right. Okay.
He's like, they can make a trade.
Yeah.
Chris Rose is like, you can't trade this point of the year. It's kind of done with that. Trade deadline's passed.
You're on the NFL Network. It would be nice to know if
but something's
you had that information.
Something's going to happen, but he continues.
Something's going to come through that door.
But
something's got to come through that door.
Okay, let's pretend nothing's going to happen, Dion, and this is the team moving forward. I wasn't just saying
if nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to happen. If nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to happen with the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl or bust. This team don't play to go to the playoffs. You know they going to the playoffs when they woke up this morning.
If nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to happen. I mean, Dion, listen.
Calm down with those takes.
Just if you'd be a better NFL insider if you just relax a little more. I mean, if he just kind of chilled like he did on this album back in 1990, what are we thinking, 4? 93?
He was on the Falcons, so.
That's got to be like, it's 94, 93, 95.
Because it was definitely pre-97.
Oh, yeah, without a question.
Because that's when Eugene Robinson was getting prostitutes when he's NFL Man of the Year.
1994.
Oh, I thought so. Right about there. Now, was he on the Braves at the same time? Was that a year that he was drawing the dollar sign into the dirt with his bat?
No, that was Carlton Fisk days. Those were like early 90s. Remember Carlton Fisk beat the crap out of him? Went into the batter's box, made a dollar sign, and Fisk beat him up.
Yeah, see, I thought
that was like way, yeah.
That was a couple years before that, because I know 94 was, yeah, I mean.
94, San Francisco 49ers.
How great would it be if he, because they tell them all to yell. I mean, they're obviously instructed to yell. But how great would it be if he's like, Tom needs something like a Gucci watch.
Okay. If we go to the Super Bowl and broadcast in Radio Row, and we have a chance to interview Deion Sanders, the entire interview is going to be about Must Be the Money.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be about this album, Primetime. You know what? Maybe we need to dig into the deeper cuts of the Deion Sanders Primetime
album. I wonder
if
those are available on the internet.
They have. Somebody somewhere has to have it, because he made an entire album, and that was the single.
Yeah, it was Primetime, and there was a video for it. I know there was a video for it, and he's moving like.
Right. It's almost like Bill Cosby-esque.
Yes, it's like the beginning of Bill Cosby. He sounds like he was with Bill Cosby. He sounds like someone's drugged him up pretty good.
Nick's got it. In 2 seconds, that's why you're a great producer. So he's got the Deion Sanders Primetime album. We just need. You know, give it to Mike. I think it might be worth just trying.
Yeah, come in and real quick give us a track list.
I need a track list there, Nick.
Because there's got to be guest appearances.
Oh, okay. Atlanta, 1994. Hammer's got to be one of them.
Well, Hammer's on it for sure, because he was in all the Hammer videos.
Yeah, so Hammer's got to be on it. TLC, maybe?
I think it might be too big. Jermaine Dupri?
Well, that'd be a good one. Okay, all right, I mean, come on. First song is called Prime Time Keeps on Ticking. The second one is the letter Y, the letter U, the letters N, V, and me. Y, U, N, V, me.
Okay, that's probably pretty good.
Must Be the Money Pretty Boy remix. It's All Real. Number two, Be Me. Say Hi to the Bag Guy. We Can Roll. House of Prime. It Ain't Over Yet. Moving. And then Heidi, Heidi, Hey.
All right, Heidi, Heidi, Hey has got to be the first one to go in the system.
Oh, he's got 17 songs.
Yeah.
Heidi, 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 Hey. He's got Papa San. Ooh, there's apparently a romantic song called Something About That Woman.
Something About That Booty Make Me Want to F Up.
It's on Time for Prime. And then he's got one called Straight to My Feet.
Straight to my feet, D.A., when it talks. He gets excited when a girl of the DA walks.
So I guess during that time, in 1995, he went on Saturday Night Live and performed a medley of his own songs.
Oh, my
and
God.
And Bon Jovi was actually the musical guest that night.
Then why did... How did Dion get on the stage?
The crowd demanded it. He was there, and they just went, prime time, prime time.
Hang on, 95, that was like... prime Saturday Night Live watching years.
Reading it right here.
How do I not remember that? Because really?
Because they won't put it on the internet. Because it was so bad.
By the way, yesterday Adam Schefter tweeted on the biggest shopping day of the year, Cyber Monday, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson outsold every other athlete in total merchandise and Fanatics. But the top-selling single item on Cyber Monday still was, after all these years, Tom Brady jerseys.
I wonder who doesn't have them by now, but
that's why it's so astounding. Every time you see it at the top of selling charts, like, who doesn't have one who's a fan?
Yeah, if 20 years you don't have one of his jerseys, that's kind of weird. All right, we'll come back. We'll find out what's going on with the Dion album. Plus, remember, at 7:30 and 9:30 this morning, we got tickets to see Sunday's game against Kansas City.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. This is where Boston sports fans start their day.
Oh, now, focus.
With Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're going to have to hold on to those Dion songs for a later time.
I'm hearing some of the lyrics, and they're just awesome. Like, I mean,
we should play a game like Guess the Next Line. Guess the Next Line.
I might have a new favorite party album.
Because, like, if he's referencing Gators, like, Gator shoes, then there's going to be the greatest references to, like, stuff that no one in a million years would wear anymore.
What kind of phone?
Oh, yeah. I got a phone attached to my car.
It's a 28-pound Motorola. I can't walk far.
Can't walk at all. It's stuck in the car.
It is. It's got a big cord. Just bounces right back. Well, first it was Paul Pierce who talked trash on Kyrie Irving. That was kind of fun. Now it's the big ticket. According to the New York Daily News, they were interviewing him, Kevin Garnett, while he was doing press for his new movie with Adam Sandler, Uncut Gems, which, by the way, is getting great reviews. And it comes out, I think, not this weekend, but the weekend afterwards. And what's great, Fred, is I was looking at the picture in this article that they used at the red carpet premiere, and the photo's fantastic. Far right, Kevin Garnett, and then right next to him is one of the directors and the head actress. And then you have the other director, Adam Sandler, Judd Hirsch, and look who worked his way right into the middle of the photo.
Mike Francesa.
Mike Francesa.
And you know how I knew?
Who has a role in that?
His teeth. Francesa just went, put in some white-ass teeth in my mouth.
Impossibly tan and impossibly white teeth stands out when you are on the red carpet like Mr. Mike Francesa is. I just like Judd Hirsch getting a paycheck.
Yeah, well, listen, Judge Hirsch has got that Dear John money.
Dear John was the most depressing TV show.
Well, it was about a group of divorcees.
Well, according to the New York Daily News, they said Kevin Garnett was quick to answer whether he was surprised Kyrie Irving left Boston. No, he said flatly before pausing for laughs and implying that Irving, who signed with the Nets, didn't have the mental makeup for Boston. Quote, Boston's a tough town, dog. You have to have some major cojones to be there. You got to want it. The people want it for you. That's why Paul Pierce is perfect for it. Paul wants the shot every time. Like, you're 0-14, and he's like, I know, but I still want it. Said Garnett explained why both Irving and Kevin Durant chose the wrong New York team in free agency. As Garnett experienced in his one season with the Brooklyn Nets, the Knicks, despite their 20-year run of largely disastrous seasons, drive the city and its attention. Quote, if they did the Nets, I thought he should have done the Knicks instead, if I'm being honest. He said, I'm not a Knicks fan by far, but if they come to the city and dominate, man, that's the first superstar to hit New York and be vibing is going to be bigger than life. He said, remember I said that any piece of hope in the city is going to skyrocket. The people are waiting. Now, I didn't really know this, but apparently Kevin Garnett really hated his time in Brooklyn. He didn't like the fans there. He didn't like we went there to the new stadium that they had built, which is just one of the most dead arenas I've been in any sport. When people cheer, you can hardly hear it. It's almost like the walls are made with carpet or something.
Yeah, they take big sections of the crowd out so they can put a car in there, so they have a big DJ booth that takes up where seats would be. And I don't blame them. And you know what? They feel like they went through the struggles, and they feel like you know, faced adversity, and that they're probably think that a whole generation of these players are pussies.
Well, I mean, that's I would true. Although you could say that they kind of began all of it, being the super team. You know, they
I'm not saying that. I'm saying style of play.
Oh, sure. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Like that was for they were like the in the evolution of what the NBA has become. You know, it was Celtics, Pistons, and Bulls, and then that begat another generation of players who still had to play. I mean, like Garnett had to play. I mean, you didn't sit out games at that point, and especially those guys in Boston. So I can understand that they would very much look down on guys like Kyrie Irving.
It sounds like the guy from the New York Daily News was trying to get Kevin Garnett to say that the city of Boston was racist when he played here. But Kevin Garnett said, quote, "I'm used to racism as somebody who grew up in South Carolina. I'm used to interacting with it. I was comfortable with it and being able to exchange in it and to control it. And when I got to Boston, it was a different feel. People weren't racist towards me. It was like, oh, blank, the ticket. Can I get a picture? Black, white, green, purple. It didn't matter. Everybody was happy, wanted to talk about the game. It was cool. And then they saw me running through the rope, diving on the floor. That's when they were like, damn, you give everything there. They give it back to you." He said, "The narrative of Boston before you get there is that it's a racist town. People speak their minds there. And all it is no different from Miami or Southern Florida if you're a Hurricanes fan or if you're a Gator fan. If you're not a Boston Celtics fan, you won't get it. They root hard for their sports. They love all their sports teams. And if you're not a Patriots, Bruins fan, Red Sox, Celtic, you don't matter. And it's just that simple. It took an outside perspective to look at coming from the Timberwolves like I got now. It's understood. And once you become a Celtic, there was a whole other level of protection, another shield. If you're not from Massachusetts or a Northeasterner, you wouldn't understand." And so
I'm sure that Kevin Garnett's experience in Boston is not typical in that he's Kevin Garnett. But I also say that I appreciate the question being asked. Because, it never has been asked before.
Yeah, but no, right. Well, the thing with that is, before the trade happened, he was very vocal that he didn't want to come to Boston because it was a racist city.
Right, but I would imagine his defense of the... Listen, he hasn't played in a while. I'm sure that question's been asked to him 5,000 times.
Yeah.
I don't know why it would continue to be asked to him.
But the Ray Allen deal is supposedly what changed everything for Garnett. Like, he wanted nothing to do with Boston. They tried to make the trade multiple times.
Sure,
and then once the Ray Allen...
Of course.
That's what changed it. It had nothing to do with the city or anything like that.
But he had to learn to love the city. He loved, this is going to be a great team.
Yeah, he loved playing in Minnesota. He loved that organization. And then, he didn't want to come to Boston. And, they got Ray Allen, and then he changed his mind.
But
just consistently asking about the racism in Boston... To a guy that's probably been asked about it 45,000 times is annoying.
I do like this, though. The guy from the New York Daily News said, "Hey, Kevin Garnett, why hasn't it worked with the Knicks?" And he goes, "I don't know, man. I wish I could go up there and just say, hey, look, I got the plan. But pretty much anybody looking at Phil Jackson could say, blank, I could have pretty much done what he did."
Yeah, I could have ruined the team.
Yeah, right. I mean, what did you do? You showed up. You got a big paycheck for basically being a name. And then did absolutely nothing with that team.
Yeah, that's like when Matt Millen was the GM of the Lions. Well, I mean, like a 5-year-old kid could do what you did, put together a team that doesn't win a game. Yeah. You know, you get like a Kuiper's draft sheet and you just kind of go by the numbers.
I mean, why that dumb fake bluesman wants to own that team? I have no idea.
It's spite now.
Well, it is because apparently, and there's been this rumor out there for a while, Jeff Bezos has been wanting to buy a basketball team for a while. Take Bezos's money. Take him for, I don't want to say all he's worth because he's worth a lot more than that, but gouge the price. Say, hey, I want $8 billion and sell it to Bezos. And all of a sudden, everyone will want to play for that team.
Well, he doesn't care, and he wants to own the team, and he doesn't need the money, so he's going to keep holding it out of spite. Plus, if he doesn't own the team and he doesn't own the Garden, where is his sweet band going to play?
who's going to care? You know, all of a sudden, no one's going to show up to his shows anymore.
I know.
He used to play to packed houses, and now, no.
All right, he's going to have to keep canceling them. All right, is Ted Johnson here? Oh, great.
Excellent.
All right. No commercials here, just the headlines, and we'll talk to Ted Johnson.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.